The third crucially important element of a strategy aimed at generating a sustainable development path will have to be a significant strengthening of the current mechanisms of international cooperation, which are completely inadequate to the global challenges that we face. The process of globalization is unfolding in the absence of equivalent progress in the creation of an international institutional framework that can support it and enhance its potential for good. There is no global environmental authority. Policy in this area is based on ad hoc approaches involving elements of international cooperation, voluntary compliance, and large doses of hope. In the absence of a body having jurisdiction over the global environment with corresponding legal enforcement authority, the international community has de facto abdicated management of the world's environment to chance and the actions of a few well-meaning states. The global economy has no lender of last resort. There is no reliable, depoliticized mechanism to deal with financial crisis. There is no international legal framework to ensure that global business enterprises are socially, environmentally, and economically responsible. There is no agency charged with the responsibility for giving legal meaning to the noble principles enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. With 44 nations with the capacity to build nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation remains yet another example of global institutional failure. Whether we focus our attention on climate change and the broad range of associated environmental calamities, nuclear proliferation, the workings of the world's financial system, or growing income disparities, the fact is that major planetary problems are being neglected because we do not have effective problem-solving mechanisms and institutions strong enough to deal with them. Or, put differently, a range of inherently global crises cannot be solved outside the framework of global collective action involving supranational cooperation and a fundamental rethinking of the national interest. The reality is that existing institutions are incapable of rising to the challenges of a rapidly changing world because they were designed for another era. Instead, the United Nations itself and the associated infrastructure of specialized agencies which are created to attend to a variety of global problems find themselves increasingly unable to respond to crises. Sometimes because these agencies lack the appropriate jurisdiction or mandate to act, sometimes because they are inadequately endowed with resources, and often because they simply do not know what to do. The nation state is in deep crisis. At its core, the nation state is defined by a geographic border, with governments elected, at least in the context of democracy, to safeguard the interests of citizens, to improve the quality of available resources, to manage scarce resources, and promote gradually rising living standards. However, as made abundantly clear by crises in the financial markets and more generally the onward march of globalization, the economic system is now no longer confined to national borders, but straddles them in a way that is forcing governments to relinquish control in a growing number of areas. Indeed, one of the main lessons to emerge from the 2008-2009 global financial crisis, as was noted by a former European Union commissioner for the United Kingdom, is that a global economy needs global economic governance. The same, of course, can be said for the environment. Alongside the stresses put on institutions by the accelerating pace of global change, publics everywhere are showing growing dissatisfaction with the inability of politics and politicians to find solutions to a whole range of global problems. This trend is likely to intensify and is giving rise to a crisis of governance, the sense that nobody's in charge, that while we live in a fully integrated world, we do not have an institutional infrastructure that can respond to the multiple challenges that we face. Indeed, existing mechanisms to tackle global issues are woefully inadequate. Treaties and conventions, very much at the core of how the international community has confronted global challenges in the past, have proven generally ineffective to address urgent problems. Where enforcement mechanisms exist at all, monitoring and enforcement of these treaties is lax and painfully slow. During the 1990s, the United Nations took the lead in organizing major intergovernmental conferences, beginning with the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. This was followed by conferences on social and economic development in Copenhagen, women in Beijing, population in Cairo, human rights in Vienna, and so on. These conferences, however, while generally good for raising awareness of the underlying problems, have proven to be inadequate for problem solving. Long on declarations, they have long ceased to be mechanisms for effective cooperation on the urgent problems confronting humanity. The Rio Plus 20 UN Conference on Sustainable Development in 2012 was intended to reaffirm government commitments to define a green economy that would alleviate poverty and work for sustainability, and to agree to new international institutional arrangements, but it only succeeded in making minor adjustments to existing institutions and to establish a high-level political forum assessing voluntary progress towards aspirational sustainable development goals. It demonstrated once again that governments are incapable of addressing urgent global problems effectively within the present system. Yet another attempt at reinforcing existing mechanisms of international cooperation was the creation in the mid-1970s of the G7, a club made up of the world's seven largest economies, as a high-level body to discuss major economic and political issues facing their domestic societies and the international community as a whole. The G7 has been a good forum for open debate about global problems, but not particularly effective problem-solving grouping. G7 meetings are actually intended to preserve the status quo. Now that the G7 are no longer the world's seven largest economies, a broader grouping was created in 1999, the G20. But neither the Swiss nor the Dutch nor the Spanish were particularly happy at being excluded. Moreover, the G7 remain, in fact, official bodies. Their deliberations bring to the table heads of state and a small coterie of civil servants, with no representation from the business community or civil society. Given the global nature of the problems we face, and increasingly shared perception that solutions to these will require broad-based collaboration across various stakeholder groups, these groups suffer from a deficit of legitimacy. They are not a fair representation of humanity and as such cannot be expected to make any important decisions on its behalf. Multilateral agencies, including those associated with the United Nations system, have acquired a critically important role in recent decades. They are repositories of knowledge and expertise and, in some cases, have essentially taken over jurisdiction in a central area of economic governance, such as international trade by the World Trade Organization. However, they remain hampered by lack of access to adequate resources to finance their activities and the reluctance of many larger countries to cede national sovereignty in particular areas. Effective, credible mechanisms of international cooperation that are perceived to be legitimate and capable of acting on behalf of the interests of humanity, rather than those of a particular set of countries, are absolutely essential if the world is to meet the challenge of striking the correct balance between concern for the environment and the policies that must underpin such concern on the one hand, and the need to ensure that the global economy develops in ways that provide opportunities for all, particularly the poor and the disadvantaged on the other. On present evidence, the existing intergovernmental system of nation states is incapable of achieving this level of cooperation, requiring a more fundamental restructuring of the relationships between countries and peoples. The United Nations is debating its future in its 75th anniversary, and new proposals are identifying ways towards more effective global governance.